Welcome to the Mostly Mom podcast, where we have conversations about being a mom and all the other things we do along the way that make us who we are. Hi, I'm Kristen Shelvin. While my days are filled with many roles and responsibilities, Mostly Mom is my favorite title. I think normal moms have the best stories, but they don't usually get to share them. I'd like to take some time to sit down with a fellow mom to discuss the good and the hard, the joy and the sorrow, what we're facing in our current season of motherhood, and lessons we've learned along the way. I hope you are encouraged, challenged, and inspired by these conversations. Welcome to the podcast, Nyla.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for talking with me. From way back, what's your story, Nyla?
Oh, wow. So my story, I'm the youngest of six. And most people say if they come from a broken home, you know, that's how they would describe it. But I came from a shattered home, not broken. It was a ton of change, constant. So I probably had the least of it being the baby. My older siblings saw more than I saw. But my mom and my stepdads, whomever, you know, I had multiple. And then long-term boyfriends, stepdads-ish, they would be religious, but not authentic, not living it out, but by word.
Yeah.
We always went to church, but it just was just not real. And it didn't send out to me. Like, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'll follow you guys on this path, you know? But I was born in L.A., and my parents were not married, and so I'm a little bastard. I like to be real about that because we're out there, and even though that is my start before the foundation of the earth, the Lord saved me, and he called me out, and all my siblings are not saved, and I feel extremely fortunate. Like I won the spiritual lottery. But yeah, so growing up, it was just crazy. And like I would come home and we're moving all of a sudden that day.
Like suitcases packed, your mom's ready to
head out the door. I would not even say suitcases.
You just grabbed.
Our family. Oh, I remember one time with a really difficult stepdad. I took all the microwave popcorn. I was like, I am not leaving this. Like, you know, just ridiculous and sad it was, and interesting. I think the benefit for me today, I'm really good with change.
Yeah.
And I don't trust other people naturally, and I just believe what the word says, that the heart is desperately wicked and beyond cure without the Lord. So I'm not putting my hope in other people, but I still strive to be super loving and open to people. And we moved to Texas when I was 7. After my parents in California, right before I moved, they asked if I wanted to go to heaven or hell. And that was their way of, yeah, the gospel presented to me. And of course I said, I want to go to heaven, you know, want to burn in a fire forever.
Who's going to not answer that?
Totally. Right. And so then when we got to Texas, where we settled down, yeah, I got baptized, but it was just going through motions. It's not authentic. And then I just grew up in that more change. That stepdad died. My mom married the man who did her taxes after that. And all of these, there were multiple that were religious. One was a chaplain. Hmm. One was a Southern Baptist pastor. And he's probably one of the most influential people of my life. He did love the Lord. It was amazing. And it was the first time I felt like, oh my gosh, this person is different. Yeah, I can't wait to see him in heaven one day. His name's Fred. So that was just a ton. And because of that upbringing in Texas, so we're talking Bible Belt, culture, everyone's saved, everyone's religious, and I'm not really.
But you're along for that ride.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
You can follow that ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But we were unacceptable. We were the black sheep kind of every neighborhood. And I remember thinking, I haven't made these choices. You know, my mom and whomever she's with did. And I just kept thinking, I want to be different when I'm older. Like, I don't want to do this. I want to be a person of my word and really, I didn't even know the word character probably, but I wanted to be starkly different. And I knew marriage must be very important, and I had to find the right person. Like, isn't that amazing?
That's interesting.
And interesting, too, that all the other siblings either fell hard on, we're going to follow my mom, and, you know, many or a couple marriages, or I'm going to hardcore really try to stick this out and, you know, stay with their spouses.
How far are you from your next sibling?
My sister Cheryl lives in Texas still. She's a year older than me.
Okay, so there were other siblings close to you in age.
Yes.
Going through all of these moves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And where was your dad when your mom and dad split? Where did your dad stay when you moved and left him?
So he was a logger, and I think it was kind of Washington State area. But I didn't find out about him till I was 21. And I always looked different than my siblings. I was taller. I had blonde hair, you know, just like my mom, shaped more like my mom, but not like them. They all have bright blue eyes, fair skin, dark, dark hair. So they would make jokes that, you know, you're the milkman's dad, you know.
Aww.
And I remember being like, whatever. But when I got older, I thought, man, maybe there's some truth here. And knowing my family's history, I started asking questions.
And how old were you?
Like, I was 20 when I started asking. Okay. And then I found out, I asked my oldest sister, Lori, which really put her in a hard place. So that was hard on her. And I wasn't thinking about her at all then. I was not a believer, not, you know, considerate. But at the same time, I knew that she would tell me the truth. And she did. And that was hard to work through. I'd been given the name Garrison. I've been carrying that name, you know, all my life, and it wasn't my name. Hmm. Matter of fact, I have Indian heritage, and I didn't know. So that was just one thing to work through as a young adult, and one that was drinking. I'll just throw that in there. I was drinking pretty heavily at the time, mm-hmm. So it wasn't helpful. But my stepdad, Fred, was married to my mom at that time, and so he was amazing. And I shared with him what had happened. My mom didn't tell him. She's very secretive. And he was just awesome. He was just Christ in the flesh and never pushy. Like he would never push me towards the Lord, but he just lived it out. Hmm. And really, I would say, was future focused. And so he didn't value the things of this world, which I swear I'm constantly working on that. Like, you know, the trappings versus thinking eternally.
The stuff.
Yeah.
The distractions.
Because I'm not, you know, I'm Nyla and I love stuff, like we were talking about.
Same.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. I always wanted to be, this is embarrassing, I always wanted to be a supermodel. Like, that was my, when I knew when I was 5, like, I was like, I want to be in calendars, I want to do this. So my plan was to either make Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders or try out for The Price is Right and be one of Bob Barker Beauties.
Okay.
I know, which is crazy.
So I have to interrupt you for 1 second. We are not on video. This is just audio right now.
Yeah.
If you know Nyla, Nyla could have been
you
all
are
of
so
those
funny.
Things.
Nyla is 49, and no. Now it would be like senior citizen inching towards senior ads. Yeah, it's what I wanted, and I realized it would have been horrible for someone who was...
Not the lifestyle that you...
Yeah, I was drinking. I was using drugs illegal, like... I don't know how deep you want to go on this, but I use cocaine, speed, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And so that world would have been very challenging. But I did not make the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders. And then I decided to try out for a dance team in Louisiana. I was, when I say dance team, in college at LSU. It's LSU Monroe now.
Okay.
But anyway, so I was a war bonnet out there, and I met Darren. My husband.
So what were you going to school for at LSU?
Yeah, so I'm a drafter, AutoCAD.
Yep.
I have an Associate's of Applied Science. That's as far as I went. But I just kept going to school because I wasn't sure what to do.
Yeah.
And so I had a construction, like that was what they called it at that school. And funny, my husband is a total like straightforward, I call him a Nathaniel of the Bible. So Darren, just one of the things, he's very first conversations, you know how you ask, what's your major? And I said, engineering, because that's what I was kind of looking at. And he said, well, aren't you at the wrong college? And it always reminds, and I remember thinking, well, I'll say this first, You have the money. You can do whatever you want, but yeah. I cannot. I have to go where I can get a scholarship.
Yeah.
And that was where I was at. But I
and
say
isn't
he's
that
in a,
interesting that like those two perspectives are so different.
Yes. Yeah.
And we sometimes don't realize where somebody's coming from.
Totally. And I felt like I could read him in the moment. I mean, the kid had two cars and an account for fun. And here I was like scrambling, like, do you have any extra beans? Like I'm struggling to eat. And he did. He shared, and it was really sweet. But I say he's a Nathaniel because Nathaniel was the one that said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Mm-hmm. And the Lord right after that said, basically, there's no deceit in him. In one whom there's no deceit. And I just thought, wow, because Darren is forthright and very straight, but he's being honest. Like, it's not, you know, ill-willed. It's pure.
Like, it's not out of rudeness. It's
yeah.
just clarity and...
yeah. He's an only child, so it is a whole different, a very, you know, his parents were married 50-something years until she passed. And, yeah, so total opposite. But I think... the Lord knows what he's doing. I mean, Dave Ramsey says if two people that are the same marry, one's like inadequate or what's the word? Not needed.
Like, right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to marry yourself, right?
No. Oh my gosh, I would be so annoyed with myself. Yeah. So when I met Darren, he was the second person that was like an incredible example of Jesus Christ. And I remember sharing with him, it was kind of my own little test. You know, in Texas, you don't tell anyone you struggle with drinking. I mean, that not if you're a Baptist.
Right.
So I told him, and he was like, yeah, that, you know, I'll help you. And he was just so supportive. And I remember just being like, wow. And it feels like just like Jesus would be. Like, he loves people and doesn't expect them to get cleaned up before coming, but just come. Mm-hmm. That will naturally happen. Yeah, so I lived a double life for a long time. I wanted Darren and the godly life, and I knew I wanted an upstanding man that would be faithful, and yet I wasn't the match for that. I was not interested. I still wanted to party and have fun, mm-hmm. and I went back to Texas and finished a couple classes there, and he went to Nashville, back to Belmont University. And so because I was away from him, I could do whatever I wanted in my mind. And then when I spoke with him, I would be sober. Mm. So I was a liar face, like my big sister would say, which was, you know, I felt like I could handle it for a time. But then at the height, we got married. I was still living that way. Introduced to hard drugs at my bachelorette party.
Oh.
That's when cocaine came in and we got married and moved to Houston.
Hold on for one second.
Yeah.
You were introduced to cocaine at your bachelorette party
mm-hmm.
by a friend.
Yep.
Wow.
The Bible Belt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely professing Christian friends. Interesting. I came back to them later when I did get saved and I asked for forgiveness. I went through a list. Everything I could remember that I had done wrong.
Yeah.
I wrote checks to people I stole money from, and I'd always try to go over whatever I could remember and then over. And I would share scripture and my testimony. And one of them, one of my closest friends, she was my maid of honor. I had shared with her that I wasn't a good example to her and her family, and they had got divorced. I just felt terrible. I encouraged party lifestyle, and she just said, you know, I wasn't a good example to your family either. But that was the only person that reciprocated in my friend group. I mean, everyone was kind, but not, you know, like, thank you, that's great for you.
She met your humility with her humility.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think she walks with Jesus, but I hope that she will, you know.
Yeah.
But what happened, basically, I was drinking about 5-6 nights a week and struggling with digesting food, just party. And I committed some sin that I finally felt like I am going to hell. I deserve hell.
Yeah.
Drinking and driving. I had done all kinds of stuff, gotten drunk a ton, but never felt like I deserve, you know, punishment, hell, until I did this one thing. And I just felt like guilt, and I could not get it off my shoulders. And I kept confessing it to the Lord, I swear, probably over 100 times, but I wasn't getting healing. So I turned to scripture. Like, how do I go to heaven? It was mm-hmm. how do I not go to hell? Mm-hmm. And so I read James 5, I think it's 16, that says, confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is it. But I was terrified. Like, who do I trust that I can tell this to?
Yeah. Who can hold this without shaming and betraying me?
Right. And I knew my stepdad. I didn't want to go to him. And I didn't want to go to Darren. Like, oh my gosh. So I was just like, Lord, okay, you know, I'm never doing that again. And I stopped drinking drugs. I stopped right away.
So cold turkey, you stopped.
I stopped drugs cold turkey. And alcohol, I would say, took months. I'd make it maybe 4 weeks, and then I'd get drunk, and then I'd make it six, and then I got pregnant, and then I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, there's no pregnant with Genesis. So I actually dyed my hair blonde to celebrate 20 years sobriety.
Yeah, I remember when I ran into you, it was fresh.
Oh, yeah.
And when you had just gotten your hair done for 20 years of sobriety, and your face also looked...
Aww.
Fresh. Like, you looked it wasn't just because of the new hair. You had this lightness. Like, 20 years is a thing
to
celebrate.
Cool. Yeah. Actually, the stylist that did it, I didn't know this when I booked with her. But when I sat down and got to share with her why I'm getting this done, she was in the process and just about to hit a year sobriety. So it was really cool. I got to tell her my story, and we related on several levels. You know, the stuff that happens, that's typically it.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, this is not good. Anyways.
Well, and I love how you landed in her chair.
Yes.
Right? The providence of timing. Like,
absolutely.
You land in her chair at your 20 year. She's at her 1 year. 1 year's hard.
Yes. Oh, yeah. 2 years. The first 2 years for me were the hardest. Yeah, I was pretty angry during those years. Like, even Christians who drank, like, a little bit, mm-hmm. I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Don't mm-hmm. you know I'm struggling? Now, of course, I have grace. We're all at different places, and we come to the Word differently. I just cannot handle it. And interesting, I actually think now I love the Lord. At the time, I love myself more, and, like, I just wanted to party and pleasure-oriented. But now I feel like I could probably handle it, but I don't even want to mess around.
Yeah.
I have so many friends that I try to help with the very problem, so I just don't want to go down that road.
It's not worth it.
I want to be a support. Yeah.
Yeah.
What ended up happening, it took me a very long time to come clean. I kept studying scripture, and I feel like God was showing me exactly what I needed. You know, like, He takes a heart of stone and turns it to a heart of flesh. I can't believe I found that verse. That's like in the Old Testament. And then I found the verse that did it. It was Matthew 10:28, and it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but fear Him who can kill your body and soul in hell. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm fearing man. And then I just studied and studied and could see that, honestly, even though I've put so much weight into this sin that I committed, all the sins I committed should have had me on my face before the Lord and everyone else. So I remember just thinking, if they don't know and they're going to judge me, they just don't know. And I thought, wow, I don't really care. That sounds awful. I don't care what they think. I think I'm going to do this. And I was weighing out a couple of things, like female Christians that I knew. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any that I was like, are there any cool women that are real and authentic? I wasn't sure, but I decided, you know what? I know this is right. Mm-hmm. And even if my husband, let's say he divorces me, I had two kids at the time when I finally got to that place, Genesis and Easter, I remember thinking it'll be worth it. I'll be a godly mom. And when I do see them, I can speak truth and be real. And I can go to heaven, like, not go to hell. What happened? I was sitting down with Darren one day, and I was just like feeling sick, a wave of guilt that day. And I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell him. And he was the one. And I told him what I did. And right away he said, salvation has come to our home today. And he wasn't wrong, because that's what it took for me to lay my life down and just say, Lord, okay, whatever. You know, I know this is right. I believe you. I'm going to follow you. And he said, first thing he said, let's move and get away from your community. Yeah. Like, we got to get away. And he said, we need nouthetic counseling. I didn't even know what that meant, Bible-based counseling. And so he picked Alaska, Montana, or California. And he was like, you pick. You're the one home all day. Find us a church that has counseling. And so I was like, I don't want to go to Alaska. I had postpartum depression a couple times and the lack of sun. I was just like, and I don't like cold weather or the mountains. That sounds terrible living here. I live here to grow. I'm here for the spiritual life. And then California, I'm a Californian. And I was like, I'm just not sure. So I started looking in Montana.
Yeah.
And we found a Bible church. And it was the first time I was ever listening. And I could not believe what the Bible said. You know, my eyes were open, my ears were open, and I kept running to Darren with my Bible. I'm like, do you know it says this? And he was like, yes, I do. And I probably did that, I don't know, 50 times, and I stopped. I'm like, all right, he knows. This is good. And I remember, like, how is this going to be? Are they really going to be kind to me? You know, I'm coming in, like, I'm going to be real about what I've done. And it was actually Pastor Kelly who was our counselor. And he met with us about 6 months, and he was so kind. I couldn't believe it. He was just like, honestly, that's all of us. Look around.
Yeah.
And then it was the first time that I had the perspective that church is like a hospital and not like all these people that have it together. That's how I viewed it. And now I'm just like, oh, I'm with saints, but we're only saints because we're trusting in Jesus for what we could never do. You know, we're just being real about our sin. And so, yeah, I love it. It's the first church I've ever been to as a believer. So 17 years, it'll be 18 this spring.
Yeah, that's how church should be. It should be broken, beautiful people together, right? Not one person's better than the next.
Yes.
We're all looking at the same Savior. We're all looking at Jesus together.
Yes.
None of us have got it figured out, sorted out, perfection.
No.
Yeah, we all have a struggle, whether it's obvious or not.
The Bible does say that there are wheat and tares or what's the word I'm thinking of? The other predators in the church. What am I saying? What's the word?
Like the wolves.
Wolves. That's definitely what I was looking for. So, that predator. Anyways, there are wolves there, too. And I know a lot of people maybe that don't walk with Jesus have been hurt by the church. And so he told us that so that we know, yes, there's the remnant. When the remnant means authentic believers, a core group, but then also you're going to see people that are not real, they're false. And so what I tell my children and anyone else that's willing to listen, that I'm glad they're there in the sense of maybe they'll hear the gospel and be saved. And so if someone hurts you, you know, I get hurt too, and I'm a strong personality, and so it's not everyone's flavor either, but just to understand that's the reality. If they don't seem friendly, they're not maybe warm, look to another, it is there, we exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hurting people hurt people.
Yes.
Right? And I always have to keep that in mind, that we're all carrying something.
Yeah.
We're all carrying a past. We all have a story.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows it.
Right.
So just have a lot of grace and generosity.
Yes. A lot of grace. Excellent advice.
Busy families need all the help they can get to stay organized. Enjoy your ordinary everyday as you manage your household with these easy-to-use printables. These digital download planning pages include sheets for homework, chores, summer activities, meal planning, weekly calendars, year-at-a-glance planning, and more. Make your fridge look cute, or create a family binder to keep everyone organized. Purchase once and print forever. Weekly planning pages are bundled in Monday Start or Sunday Start format. For a limited time, buy the bundles at a 40% discount and get the liturgy prints as a bonus. The Get Ready Checklist and Summer Checklist are my favorites. Each of my kids knows exactly what's expected, and they take responsibility for what's on their list. Not just for the kids, there are also downloads you can use for vacation planning, grocery shopping, and habit tracking. Go to ordinaryeveryday.studio for the link.
So you have now 5 kiddos.
Yes.
And you stayed at home and you homeschooled for a really long time.
Yes.
What What did you love about that season? What were the challenges of that season? What do you wish you would have done differently?
Oh, man. Right.
Talk about some of that.
Okay. Well, I'll say to start, my experience or my opinion is probably not popular. So heads up.
That's okay.
My girlfriend Sadie says I'm rogue. Well, when I met Darren in college, like right away, we were just friends. He was telling me one day he thought it would be cool to homeschool his children or to have his wife. And I was like, dude, have you ever met homeschoolers? Like, what are you talking about? And he said, have you? And I was like, actually, no, I haven't. But like, you know, I had a very negative opinion. Like, they're uncool. Ew, no. I wanted a career. I wanted to wear cool outfits and be professional. So funny what the Lord does. Like,
because as you sit here, you're wearing a pretty cool outfit, Nyla.
Yeah, but not career. Actually, I do think that's cool, but thank you for the support. Oh, I had someone make fun of these shoes this week. Anyways, we married, and then 5 years later, had Genesis, and, you know, the Lord slowly over those years changed my heart. And when I had her, I thought, honestly, I just don't want to let her go.
Yeah.
And then you have another 5 years, right? Like before you start school. And so I just started watching all these women at church who were homeschooling and just listening. I definitely believed in the moment they could speak, they could learn scripture. But when we first married, I still wasn't saved. I was religious. So I was saved when I was homeschooling, though. Genesis and Easter, I try to do together. And you try to lump them in as yeah. best you can.
Make it easier on you.
Oh, yeah. One and done, little schoolhouse type of thing. I used a buffet. I don't believe in a big, you know, buy the whole package. And so Bible time, I just would, in the early years, pick a passage. Mm-hmm. And then, or a Bible, like, what was it that Bible that everyone loves, the little storybook.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know, something like that.
Children's storybook Bible.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. It's yeah. been a while since I read that one.
Right. I mean, we're talking, yeah, early 2000s, whatever. That and the mystery of history, Apologia, and then Matthew C. I mean, those poor kids, I love math. And so I had them in like a 45 minute, and then they were like, Mom. And I'm like, okay, maybe. That's like college math. Like, what? but anyways, she's doing great in math today. So
you did that right.
At MSU, yeah. So that was kind of, you know, what I did. And we still do. Sparrow's 11. She's homeschooling. Same books. I taught them to read with 100 easy lessons, which I joke, Becky, my girlfriend, had asked to borrow that. And I'm like, I have like 80-something. The rest have been torn out. And you should see that book. Looks like a dog got a hold of it. And we had no dog. Yeah, I would say the hardest change I made in the last couple seasons has been giving up Awana. I cut out Bible for my early kids, Jen, Easter, Noel, because it was so hard to do Awana and go through every book. And they were in different books, Jen, Easter, and Noel. And I would be doing Bible till like noon. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like, and I really have looked back on that. And that's been a compromise Darren and I have had to make. And I feel like it killed the love of reading. Genesis has been really honest about that. Reading the word. It took God working in our heart and mind to bring that back around. But, you know, to do it, to get points, to push through and get the yeah. ribbon, the award, versus I just wanted them to have scripture on their heart and mind and readily accessible, you know?
Yeah.
And they do. But I still would have changed that. And I have with Sparrow and Fisher. So it's way more chill now.
I grew up an Awana kid. And
oh,
so
wow.
I know that feeling of it was checking a box, just doing the thing because it needed to get done.
Yeah.
Because that was the assignment for the week.
Yes.
Rather than reading the Bible because I wanted to, or
exactly.
loving what the scripture was saying, or even, you know, when my kids have Bible verses at school, maybe. I'm like, so what does that actually mean?
Totally.
Don't
we
just
do
say it. Don't just like spout the words. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about what that means? Has it settled into your soul and your spirit?
Mm-hmm.
That matters way more.
Absolutely. Yeah. We ask that question for sure. And it's been telling. So I just want to say I do love the Awana program.
Totally.
I wonder if they just did Bible memory versus all the homework. But they're trying to get into the hearts and minds and homes of the unreached. And I would say reached also. But, you know, believing, unbelieving homes, which is good.
Yeah. I don't think either one of us is saying it's a negative program. I think it's lovely and wonderful. It just, I'm also one of those people that's like, okay, what's the next thing?
Right.
What do I have to do to perform and to follow the rules? Right.
Yeah, so totally. We did a co-op just 2 years out of, like, I think I've been doing school like maybe 15, something like that. I haven't even done the math. But it was actually helpful in those years. So I guess be open.
Yep.
My mom got cancer.
Yeah.
And we had just started a co-op and it was invaluable because I flew out so many times. And honestly, their education can, like, that's real life. That's homeschooling. We stop and we, like, take care of the dying.
Yes.
Which was precious time. It was also a gift to me to leave my kids here and then go take care of her without having to take care of my kids.
Yeah.
You know, multitask with my mom. We wake up, I get Darren out the door the couple of days he's at a school here in town, and Fisher is going to one of the schools in town. But Sparrow and I are home, and we have our tea time. She's actually, her writing, I just do Bible verses. And depending on if it's long, if it's short, and we just talk it out. It's so cute. She's going through Mark. And the other day, someone else asked, like, what is your favorite book? And she said, it's Mark. And I just thought, oh, this is so sweet. You know, like, this year or so since August is when we made this change of just let's relax a bit. So when I talk to people about what we're doing, I think it freaks them out, right? Like, will they be prepared? I mean, we're still doing Apologia Science, reading Mystery of History, math. Oh, I need to get more hardcore on just to be really straight. And then science, too. We're reading through that.
So right now it's just one kiddo at home that you're homeschooling.
Yeah.
That feels different.
That's a big
shift from having five kids at home.
And it's my bookend. So from the first to the baby. Yeah. And Genesis will even say, wow, you are so spoiled. So like part of our education this week, and funny, I think it'll actually be tomorrow afternoon, we're looking at the ballot together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why not? This only happens so often. So we're going to open it up and I'm going to show them how we vote. We've certainly been talking about it as my kids are susceptible to marketing. Uh-huh. And we've had to talk things out. Like, you know, people pay. Somebody paid to say those things about that man. Anyways.
Yes.
So I wish I had been more gracious. That is huge. That's probably the biggest thing I look back on. I was a stricter parent because I didn't want to be like my upbringing, too loose and wild. Mm-hmm. But I went, the pendulum just really swung the other direction. Now I would say I'm more in the middle and just trying to walk out Jesus Christ and let them see that.
What has been a deep joy during all those homeschooling years? With all of the changes and all the things that kids go through, has there been just this thing about your homeschool and about being with your kids that has just continued to bring joy and delight to you as the mom?
Yes. A couple things came to mind. But number one, like every parent, I have a variety.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so different. Mm-hmm. And I love that because Darren and I are different, and we expose each other to different types of people. His off-roading 406 Land Cruiser Club, and I've been a part of Gallatin Roller Derby for 12 years, and so I expose them to my group there, the community there. And so with the kids, it's the same. Genesis is like a minimalist, hardcore athlete when she was in school, and now she's on campus working with international students. And that is a real joy to see her bringing students into our home, and we get to introduce them to the Lord Jesus. That's awesome. That gives me, like, incredible joy. And then Easter, man, her crowd is eclectic and fun. And to understand more about that community and what they're experiencing. She has a real heart for the suffering and people that I guess would be labeled. And so I just feel like I would say, obviously, all the groups, like I'm saying, and then to be exposed to them, and then also to see how we can love them better and serve them. Like, and then Noelle, my third, is the most private child I have. And she's 16, and I've learned I have to stay up till sometimes 1 a.m., and then she's ready. Yeah. And I'm praying in my head, like, I'm about to collapse. Like, I need to go to bed, but I'm trying so hard to be here for you.
Yeah.
And there are kids that need that. And yeah, she's my little genius, too. She's an engineer type. Just amazing.
Yep.
And then Fisher's my gamer, and he's the absolute best dancer in our house, which is hilarious. So the kids will be having a bake sale, and this happened. They came in, they were like, Mom, could you please get him in the house? He's offering to dance for $20. And I was like, absolutely not. Let me get my camera. So I post, I'm like, friends, come out. But he's a trip. And I see him, he's working through, like, every night he prays that he won't be bullied at school, which breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But then he comes home and he'll tell me how he shared with someone about the Lord and how whatever situation they're going through, that they can call out to him. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just want to cry. You know, like, this is so rad. So these moments, I would say I had a friend, Meredith, who told me once upon a time, many years ago, that if I would take just 2 to 5 minutes with each kid at night. And I remember thinking, oh, 5 minutes per bedroom. Like, that's,
like, that's
such a
five,
brat.
10, 15, like, 20.
But she was like, just do it. Like, go in there, pray with them, talk to them. And it has been the sweetest time.
Yeah. I love that time.
Oh, man. And Noelle, 16 still, she'll text me, are you coming to tuck me in? I'm like, and I just pray with her, you know, and talk to her and rub her hair. I'm like, you know, showing them that they matter and giving them one-on-one time. I wish I had done that sooner. I feel like by the time we're done parenting, we're ready, really, you know? So here come the grands one day, maybe.
Totally. I feel like the things I would tell myself now are so different than what I thought was important 15 years ago when I was getting started.
But I think that's the whole picture of life, honestly.
Yeah.
Because we see it throughout Scripture. We're being molded and made into His likeness, Jesus Christ's likeness. And it takes this whole lifetime, right?
And to be honest and open with your kids and say,
oh, totally.
I'm learning. I did it wrong. I goofed up. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry.
I am so glad you said that. That is one of my best parenting advices. Absolutely. Yeah. Own your sin. Because there was a time, I think, early on, we didn't want to do that. We're just like, let's just show them. Just show them, you know. But no, no, no. We need to be real. We need to show them how to repent. You know, I am sorry I was ugly to you in the way I spoke to you.
Yeah.
Will you forgive me? That, like, teach your kids how to apologize well.
Yeah.
And then model it. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Okay. So here's a couple questions for you that I love. I just love to ask these. What, these go together, what is a really great piece of advice that you've received, and what is a really terrible piece of advice that you've received
mothering? Someone told me to really watch what you say about body image.
Yeah.
I have 4 daughters and 1 son, and I know it's with sons too, but I listen to that. And I feel like that has been great. And I had a couple extended family members try to say things occasionally. And I'm a very peaceable, like, easygoing, fervent for the truth. I absolutely love the truth. But if they came to me and they were going to say something about my kids' looks, I stopped them and stopped that conversation and set the boundary at no, absolutely not. And then one time we had an issue with gymnastics, but Genesis at the time was, I think she was 16, and she came to me about it, and I was really grateful. And I told her, okay, you handle it, or I'm going to, and I am so willing to do it. And she handled it, and I was really proud of her. But, like, she went because she was like, this girl's off. I know she is, but she was worried about other kids. being told similar things from a coach, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I would just say that we're, what is it? The world looks at the external. God looks at the internal. And I don't really know even what to think properly about the verse, but they called Jesus, what did they call him? A glutton and a something. And I just think he was the God-man. Like, we're to work on the inside and grow.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't care for your body and, you know, be responsible or steward it well, but just watch what people say.
I heard someone say, and I've carried this, I think this is pretty good wisdom, that someone's body is the least interesting thing about them.
Oh, wow.
And when I heard that, I love that it's about your mind, it's about your spirit, it's about your personality and your interests and who you are, like you're saying, on the inside. Your size, your type, your looks, like none of that is as important as, like you're saying, what's on the inside and who you are and all those other great things about a person.
I was just going to say, that's anti-American, right? Like, that is the way of the world.
So what's the terrible advice that we should all ignore?
Oh, it's pretty lame. Like, I can't stand when someone says everything in moderation. I'm just like, I really value words and what you say and like even perception. And so I just think what you're not thinking at all.
What does that even mean? Like, I really think it out.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things I can list 10 right now that you should not do in moderation. Like, please no.
Considering your current season, right? You've got big kids that are adults now. You still have kids at home. You've got lots of things in between. Public school, homeschool, you've got kids kind of all over the place. Given that unique circumstance, what is some wisdom that you would give someone in that same season? So, you know, launching kids into adulthood, sending kids off to college, still having kids at home, having kids making these big decisions about what their life looks like.
Oh, man.
Being middle-aged, being married for, you know, 20, 25 years. Like, that's a lot all at the same time.
Yes.
What's some wisdom for that season?
Wow, that's interesting. I feel like I've heard this in an interview. Every woman. The biggest thing would be you need to be in the Word. You need to be studying. And that should be, I mean, it's my life source. What my big focus lately has been, and it should have been my whole walk, but the Lord is so kind and gentle to slowly reveal things to us. But I must decrease and Jesus must increase. And so I'm in a huge shift. I took off June from roller derby to just really look at my life and what needs to go, what needs to stay. And that was hard because I love myself and I love playing roller derby, and that's not left me. I love the show of it and the game and the what's going to happen. I don't know. It's just so fun. And I love the community. Those people they're awesome. They're fantastic. So I did not want to leave. But I was looking at my home life, and I could not be available to my teens late at night and be at practice.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, I need to die to self. And I don't want to. This is hard. But one of my favorite quotes loose quote from Jonathan Edwards, is basically, I want to live a life that I want to reflect upon one day and be proud of. And that means today I need to stop and make all the changes I want to make. You know, most people do it at the end of their life. They're dying, so they look back. No, if I want it to happen, I got to do it now. And so I just thought about the whole, you know, give up to gain the life with Jesus. What am I willing to give up? I retired from roller derby in August, and they asked me to play one more game, and I was like, thank you, Lord. Yes, I will.
Yeah, I'll go
back. And
it
was so fun. Yeah, I was like, sign me up. That was really fun. And then, it's amazing. I feel like God has enriched that sacrifice. Like, I don't know if that's the way to say it, but like, I'm having better conversations with Easter. Genesis kept bringing international students home. And honestly, I mean, I don't know if anyone can hear my accent, but English is like, I'm no grammar girl. Like, I'm a math girl. So English is just like, I'm going to, you know, I don't speak properly, right? So the thought of working with kids who speak different languages, already I feel like, oh, Lord, this is you. Like, I'm from Texas, you know? I'm a Californian, but you know what I mean. And so I'm like, oh, Lord, is this what you want? But it kept happening, and they were open to hearing me and hearing about Jesus. And so then we started serving with them. And I thought, how can I do ministry? Because a big part of homeschooling, I wanted to teach them to serve.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was serving in small ways at Derby, but I would rather do it alongside my children as a family. And so we started doing that, and it's not all pretty. You know, as we're trying to clean and prepare, sometimes I'm like, is this right? Like, but it is, right? Like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to love our neighbor. And also let's be real about our attitudes with people, you know?
Yeah, it's not a show. You're welcoming people into your home.
Yes.
As you are, as yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it, you know, the Lord meets us there.
Are you ready for the rapid fire?
Oh, I've never heard of that. Is it like a Family Feud?
Oh, a game show. That'd be fun. No. I have
if
a couple.
I could do a Sean Connery voice right now, this is the time. Okay, what is it?
I'm just going to ask you a few questions at the end here.
Oh.
You don't know what they are. As best you can, answer them in a minute or less, a Ooh. Sentence or less.
Okay.
What books are you reading right now?
I'm reading one by Rosaria Butterfield. Yeah. Darren read it and asked me to read it, on the five lies of the anti-Christian age. I'm also reading Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And I feel like there's one more. I never thought I would be a person that reads multiple, but I do. And one tip for anyone, keep them in your cars.
Yeah.
Like, in the door, that's a good way. But just trying to understand some of the relationships I'm in better and to be gentle with my approach, that's been good. And then Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, my heartbeat is to see the lost saved. And so I just try to absorb whatever wisdom I can. I've heard that's an excellent book.
Have you read Rosario's book, The Gospel Comes with the House Key?
I've read the other one, that's The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. Mm-hmm. Darren read the one about, I feel like we're living that out, but I need to
so
read
good.
It.
So good. Her stuff, I love her stuff.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you do in the morning?
I go to the bathroom because I'm 49 and I'm dying to go to the bathroom. I put oil on my face. That's second. After I wash my hands, let's get that on audio.
Let's be clear. There's a stage and a step. What's the last thing that you do at night?
Oh, wow. Last thing. I do check my phone. And, okay, I am not a cuddler when it's serious sleep time. So I cuddle Darren because he's a cuddler for a few. And then I'm like, peace out, homie. I love you. I'm going to my side.
I'm going to roll over to my side.
I'll see you on the flip side, Lord willing.
Oh, I love that. What's saving the day right now for you?
Gosh, my closest friend is Janet. She speaks truth to me. Like, even today, I just sent her a text, like, please be praying for me. You know, just yeah, that I would translate my heart, you know. She's an awesome friend, and I'm so grateful. And then I would say just the truth over and over, like, you know, not my will be done, but the Lord's will be done is really like the vein I'm in. And I need to stay in that till I die.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is something that people get wrong about you?
It's funny, in roller derby, I'm considered ultra conservative, like a pansy, and not gameplay, just personality. Mm. Like, I'm so sweet. They would say I'm so kind. And then they call me a wolf in sheep's clothing, because then when I play, I'm still going to knock them over.
Yeah, you're tough.
Whatever.
On
but
your
then at church, I'm not considered sweet. I mean, people do know me. They know my heart. But I'm a little, I would say, a little punk. Yeah, you know, a little raw, but I just feel like I'm being real and honest. And the Lord is about flavor. And I really believe that.
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying to be something. I want to be holy, but also true to how God made me.
It's a good answer. You're overwhelmed, caught in a moment of anxiety or stress. What is the first thing that you do?
I speak. and I think I should keep my mouth shut. I'm serious. Like, that has been something I've been trying to work on, holding my tongue, like, you know, and it feels near impossible sometimes. You know, but what does the Bible say in James? It talks all about it. It can do a world of damage. It's like a flame, a fire. I mean, and it's not like I speak out. I just, like, horrible things. But I do need to be silent sometimes. And being the youngest of six, I'm quick, right? Like, and my poor husband that's an only child, you know, he's the one that I think takes the brunt of it. And I'm trying to be Christ-like. A friend told me this last week that you literally can put your hand over your mouth. I won't do it because we're in audio, but and that can be a step. Then, like, you cannot
just that,
speak.
That brief moment, yeah, of pause.
Yeah, like a reminder. I try to remember the verse that says, have you suffered to the point of bleeding? You know what I mean? And it's no. It's no. Yeah. I live this cushy life in the United States of America where my husband adores me. You know, like, my kids, even though they would say they adore me too.
So I'm in another study right now, and where there's this element of the pause between the stimulus and the response. Like, that pause in that moment is where I have a choice, where I can take a choice to go this way or this way. I can take a moment, and in that space is my growth.
The stretching.
If it's just a snap, if it's like an hour, whatever that space is, that's where my choice is. And if I can stretch that out a little bit longer, it just gives me a minute to, like, think and pray. How do I want to respond?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is so good. I need to pause and be like, what is it? Selah. Like, pause, Nyla. Be quiet. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Okay. Two last questions. Describe an ordinary everyday moment that brings you joy.
Oh, I really enjoy hot tea in Montana, like lavender honey. And then, if I can get away with Darren, like, and we're not talking about finances or kids.
Yes.
That is so nice.
Yes.
Like, oh, let's just, like, be about each other.
Just be humans.
Yeah.
Sitting with each other.
And then I have to add playing with my kitty cats. They're just so awesome. Dagger and Izzy. I just want to cuddle and grab them.
Dagger and Izzy. Those are great names.
Yeah.
Any last words? Anything we forgot to talk about?
I just wish you the best and pray God's blessing upon it. I was praying that as I was preparing, like, just mentally thinking about and asking God to bless it.
Thanks, yeah. Nyla.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's I'm so excited. Cool. We'll see where it goes. See ya.
Adios.
The Mostly Mom podcast is a production from Ordinary Everyday Studio. Find us on Instagram and online at ordinaryeveryday.studio. Audio and editing by Logan Tomorrow. Thank you for listening.